Cute.
Everybody's laughing. Come on. All right, Michael, you on? Darn it. Jennifer Thomas. Petrenko.
I'm here.
Cristiano. Claire Cole. Johan and Scott.
Scott's here.
Ken Jones.
Ken Jones is here.
Tina Chambers. Peter Hammond. Tom Blanchard.
No, Tom can't make it.
Okay, the Tories.
Hi, I'm here.
Okay, Bill Barnett.
Still gone.
All right, Tom or Kathy?
Hi, Ed, I'm here.
Hey, Tom. Sam Savage?
Here.
Bill Dunty?
Here.
Dale?
I think he's joining us shortly.
Okay. Raj Miranda?
Here.
And Helen?
It's me. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right. So I'm just missing Michael, Jennifer, Cristiano, Claire, Johan, Tina,
I'm
Peter.
I'm here. This is Johan. I'm here.
Johan's there. And Peter Hammond. Okay, so we're, I guess, good to go. We're missing a few people. Jeff and Sarah Jo are at study section, or on their way to study section today, so they won't be joining us. We'll see who else comes on. Okay. I think we have a...
Hello.
Hello?
This is Claire.
Hey, Claire. All right. So before we get into the WebEx, just a few notes.
Hello? Did I miss that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I keep getting a bad echo.
Yeah, you too.
We hear it.
People need to mute their phone.
All right, well, we are still working on getting people into the onto the Science Advisory Board, additional people. I've been playing phone tag with some individuals, but hopefully that will be all resolved by the next time, our next conference call. I'm just watching Raj on my screen because I'm waiting him to eat what he just brought into the room. But I can, a couple things. Michael Charnas, I'm happy to announce. He was participated in an NPR radio broadcast following the publication of Phil May and Tina's paper, which was really very good in trying to discuss the prevalence rates and the importance of asking adults about whether or not they've been exposed to prenatal alcohol. So if anyone's interested who didn't get the link, it's on WBUR Radio in Boston, and you can just search for FASD, and it'll come up. And then also, I believe everyone got a link to Christy McGee, the news report that Rochester put out on her project, and I thought that was very good, and it was picked up by some other people. It came out in the EU FASD weekly list of things going on.
Great.
So I just want to congratulate those two. We are going to be posting for the Science Advisory Board the slide sets that individuals presented at the last at our face-to-face meeting. If anyone has an objection with me sharing their slides with the Science Advisory Board, please let me know. And also, if anyone, I would like to put them up on the website for everybody to have access to. And if anyone has an objection to that, please let me know. But I'll first start with the Science Advisory Board, since they want to review some of those before making their final comments. And John, I'm assuming you're working on that and getting input from the Dan and Sarah Jo.
Hi, Ed. Dale's here, and Bill will be along shortly.
Okay.
Ed, I'm not sure John's on, but yes, he has forwarded me a draft, and I've reviewed it. I did inquire about being able to look at some of the presentations before sending comments, but I sent him a draft of my comments, and I know Sarah Jo is working on it as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was muted. Yes, we have that draft. It's in decent shape, but there's some things we need to fine-tune on it. And if we can get access to those slides, just because our memories fail us and we didn't write everything down, it would be helpful to us.
So if anyone does have an objection, please let me know by, let's say, by 2 o'clock San Diego time. Okay, let's see. Dina, you wanted to discuss about a journal issue that you're interested perhaps in putting together?
Yeah, so we have a birth defects research, the clinical and molecular teratology. It's now a merged journal again. It's no longer part ABC. And so the editor-in-chief, Michelle Beckerman, had approached last year and then verified with him this year that he would be interested in a special issue on alcohol. So if this is something, it certainly wouldn't be CFAS only, but probably invite papers from past study investigators and others as well, but just wanted to run it by this consortium to see if there would be interest. I think in terms of timeline, we would be looking at something that would be published first part of 2019 and probably would be the papers selected and submitted before the end of this year.
So if people are interested, please let Tina know. I think, and discuss this with Tina, I thought it was a really good idea. I think CFAS could have some good representation in that issue, along with PASS, and I mentioned some other possibilities or individuals who might represent the basic science a little bit better than we don't have very many in CFAS and PASS as well. So that was another possibility.
Tina, I feel really dumb. Could you tell me the name of the journal again? I didn't recognize it, and I didn't catch it fast enough. Could you say something about merging?
Yeah. It's Birth Defects Research. So it used to be called Teratology. Now it's Birth Defects Research. It used to be part A, B, and C, and now it's just one journal.
Oh. I heard the word molecular in there, and that's why I was trying to figure out what. So it's a okay. Then I know what journal it is. Thanks so much.
Uh-huh.
It's the old Teratology Journal that has kind of gone through a metamorphosis. Do you have any idea what their impact factor is now?
It's about 3.
Okay. So if you're interested, I would get in touch with Tina, who has to put together a small little synopsis, I guess, of this for the editor. So we'll go from there. I wanted to congratulate Jeff on getting his papers accepted on the 2-year trajectory. So congratulations to him. He's on his way to study section, so he's not on the phone, but he just, and that's the only paper, I guess, that came out this month. There were others submitted, so Let's hope that they move forward as well. And Jill has the concept proposal up on your screen now, so you can see what's going on. And obviously, some people have been very busy, and it's good always to keep those papers coming. Any comments from the publication committee or the data access committee?
I don't think so.
I believe that there are two standing committees that are busy doing work. So,
do you know if everything got settled with the one that had the data access? Does anyone know if that one got finished?
I haven't seen any final.
Okay. I can follow up. I'll follow up with Bill on it. Okay.
All right. All right. So the topic for today, the WebEx, is going to be Tatiana Farood, who is going to talk about some of the things that we mentioned in our face-to-face meeting about what projects are using what samples, who needs what, and how we might better coordinate between projects so that the resources that we do have, we use to the best, use in the best possible way. So, Tatiana.
Okay, so let's see if I'm savvy enough to be able to flip this on the screen. I did, as a backup, send it.
Anyone who can steal their neighbor's web can certainly.
You are so bad. All right, so can you see? I own my own now, by the way. Can you see it on the? Can you see which screen do you see? Because I have two screens. Do you see it as a full screen or as one of those preview screens?
I see nothing.
You oh, really?
Go to
I'm seeing something that says audio and video connection.
I just went ahead and pressed connect.
Maybe I'm not
that
far enough in.
No. You want to hit. You want to hit.
Jill.
Yep. Hi. Hi. On the audio video screen, you guys always want to hit skip. That's something in this new seated plan, and you always want to hit skip.
But don't
on
I
that
want to
first
just
screen.
Share my screen? That's what I did, share my screen. And that's what
yep, that's a different thing. So now, yes, you want to hit share my screen, and now we can see your screen.
Now we got
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic. All right, and you see it as a full screen thing? I think that's the right screen it's showing.
Yep, that's right.
Okay, perfect. All right. So I'm actually doing double duty, and let me first apologize. The reason I'm not doing like science data, I apologize, is I'm afraid in 3 weeks I don't have a lot to not new to tell you. And so I thought I would take advantage of my slot and do something else that I thought would be useful. So I actually have two different things that I want to cover. One we had started at the meeting, and the other one is a different topic, and I checked with Bill before I proposed it, and I hopefully we'll have a good discussion. So Leah helped me make the slide. So I had this Excel sheet, which is pretty ugly, and Leah's made it look much prettier for me. And so I both these topics are really tied together, and I promise I'll try to keep my time tight. So this sort of returns back to, in my mind, both topics, which is also about data sharing, is recognizing the fact that we've got kind of a different structure in CFAS-4, but looking to see where do we have some common interests where we can support different projects, okay? And just to stress, this is not just about facial images. This is not just about saliva. I actually am really trying to think about this more broadly. We've been able to leverage in past CFAS the ability to put data together because we had common instruments, we had common elements, and I want to make sure that we haven't missed an opportunity. So one of the first things, this first chart is just kind of going through one set of data, and just so you have your preview, see if I can get it to do it properly. The second slide is going to be a little more granular about specific kinds of data. So just so we, there's two slides to this. The first one is just sort of what everyone's collecting, and again, a little focus on saliva, a little bit about images and about biological samples. One of the things I just wanted to confirm, and I hope I know the answer, is how we're all defining prenatally alcohol exposed and not prenatally alcohol exposed. I just felt it would be worth making the question, are we all defining this in a uniform way, and is it consistent with how we defined it in previous epochs of CFAS? And I want to just confirm that we know the answer to that, because that seems like sort of a fundamental thing we want to make sure we're all aligned on. And I hope we all agree, and I'm not off base on this. Does anyone know that? Has anyone looked at that to make sure that we're all doing this the same way?
We've looked at, this is Claire, Tina and Sarah and I looked, and Joanne looked at it, how we were doing it, to
okay.
make sure it was all consistent.
Perfect.
But I haven't done anybody else.
Okay. So would it be possible?
And to add to that, Jeff and I would be consistent, so that expands that group.
Fantastic. All right. So would it be valuable, and I believe I'm consistent with you, Sarah, so all right, so then I have like I can continue to extend my web. And so would it be valuable then to just make sure that we have those definitions easily available in our CFAS4 area so that we can easily make sure that we remain that, we can provide that easily. That way we at least know we can combine data at that level using that definition. Does that make sense?
Perfect.
Okay, so that's one action item, and we have my note taker on this. Okay. The other thing that I thought would be valuable is just to make sure when we're collecting, if I can switch to images, and I know Peter's on, when we're collecting 2D, when we're collecting 3D, do we know that everyone collecting that is collecting that in a uniform way, again, so that data could be used across projects when we go toward those kinds of analyses? Do we know that everyone's using the same protocols for their 2D and 3D images? So in terms of, our labels that we're going to have, and in terms of also the interest in profile. Do we know that everyone's doing it the same way?
No.
You're talking specifically about 3D or photography, right?
Yeah, I'm just doing photography in general. Yep.
So my comment on that would be when we get to the point where we're doing 3D facial imaging, I don't think Peter's on the phone, but we have the old
big
camera. Oh, hi, Peter. Yep. And so at that point, I would want to make sure that we were using the right equipment, the right methodology. Otherwise, we can continue to do it the way we have, but we want to make sure that we're doing it the way you want us to do it.
Right. We're going to have to come up with
protocol. Peter was really great for my project, and I guess I want to make sure that that's gotten, and Peter can correct me if he feels differently, but he gave us a lovely protocol, and I think it was Joanne who we also asked for how 2D should be collected, and of course we've got protocols for past 3D. I'd like to make a similar recommendation that we have our SOPs for 2D and 3D, what would be, how that would be collected, make sure it's the way it would be used in Peter's project, and we also post that in the CFAS4 area. So if we ever have anybody else who's thinking about doing that, we know exactly where to point them so that everyone's doing it the same way.
Tatiana, it's Joanne. Peter and I talked at the face-to-face meeting, but my understanding was the protocol we have is yet to be finalized. The sort of a little tape that it shows on the face, Peter was going to standardize it, confirm everything. So that's not the final protocol, but I agree. From Peter, we will get, right, Peter, a final, more detailed protocol.
Yeah, that was my understanding, too, that this was a proposed protocol.
That's Peter. That's right, yeah. I need to finalize if any pattern will be imprinted on the labels that are stuck on the face. I've actually talked to Chris Nelliker about this, and he's happy. He doesn't care what pattern's on it. So I think it'll just be something very simple that we can come up with.
Okay. So we just, and then we need to write that protocol down and share
yep.
it with everyone.
I have a question. Is for Sarah's project, just says 3D facial images, and I'm wondering why we're not collecting 2D images at the same time.
I think we are. I think that's just an oversight. So when we go to all the subjects who come through, we'll have, through the web portal, we'll have 2D and 3D, and also saliva, which is for the genetics. So I think that just needs to be updated. But the other thing I would add to that is that I'm wondering if neuropsych should be on there under phenotypic data.
I think we're going to do it over here.
Oh, got it.
On the next slide? Is that right?
Yep.
I wanted to make sure everyone knew that I wasn't being so totally self-serving.
Jeff also, I mean, it says clinical dysmorphology, but he also has a 3D camera now.
Right.
He does have a 3D camera.
So.
Okay, so we'll need, I think in our chart, I don't think we've got that he's doing that. I don't think in the chart that we filled out, so we will make sure that's right. So I think the key is what I'm, if you can't tell the direction I'm going in, I have a certain German ancestry. I'm trying to standardize us, so even though we don't have the advantage like we've had in the past where we had a project that led, for example, all the imaging across the other projects, one project that led all the neurobehavior across other projects, I'm trying to somehow put it in the back wherever appropriate and possible so that we know we're doing it the same way and we'll be able to combine data.
Right. So I think, Peter, you have a response, an obligation now to get everybody those protocols for the 2D and the 3D imaging. And
it
might differ depending upon what type of camera people have.
I'm not sure I know precisely which 3D cameras everybody's got because it's kind of, you know, inherited from previous versions of
Steve. Would you like to survey and get it for you? We can survey it and get it for you, Peter. Would that help you?
Yeah, that would really help, yeah.
We'll take it on.
All right.
This is Claire. I talked to Mike in Washington, and he said he wanted to have 3D images for the adults as well, and that he would help me figure that out. So I'm assuming that that will happen too.
But
perfect.
Do you have a 3D camera?
I do not. That was the point. He was going to do it on the iPad.
Oh, okay. All right. All right, so we'll just have to find out who has what type, and then Peter will have to get everyone protocols to use with those various cameras.
Yep, and I'm going to do the same exercise, and I promise I'm trying to be fast, Ed.
You have time. You have time.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. So on the next slide, I'd like to, if I can, kind of do a similar exercise and just make sure that I kind of know what's going on. So in terms of clinical dysmorphology, I believe everybody is working with the dysmorphology core in Ken Jones. So I'm hoping that I don't need to do anything with that row. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Joanne?
Yes, I am working with Ken, and we've been in touch, and we're going to connect at the meeting in April. So you can put a check in there for me.
Perfect. And I guess the other thing is, so then we want, if we were looking for a common set of variables, that would be really an easy way to do that, right? Is through the dysmorphology core, because everyone would be having the exact same assessment. So I'm thinking that will make that an easy piece. The one that I think I'm correct about it, neurobehavior, of course, is so specific in part to age and everything. Do we, and this may be, it's a question for several of you. Do we have a listing so that we potentially had, you know, now it becomes a little bit more interesting, this CFAS, other CFAS. How do we know what's being done in terms of across the projects in terms of neurobehavior and if we have commonality when people are doing subjects of similar age? Do we know that?
Well, we know what we're doing.
Well, I appreciate that. Does everyone else know what everybody else is doing? And for the same way I did the other parts.
I think Claire, Tina, Jeff, and I have a very good sense of what we're doing, but it wouldn't hurt to provide a sort of a table on that.
And is there
and Jeff and I are doing Jeff and I are doing exactly the same thing.
Okay.
So
and, right, and but, Joanne and I are doing the same thing.
But
Joanne and Claire.
There's another question though. Is that besides, like for example, Jeff is replicating the protocol that Sarah put forth, but Jeff may also be collecting other data independent of that as part of his clinical overview of the child, his clinical assessment of the child. And we should also know what information is in there because that may overlap with other people who are collecting other types of behavioral data that are not part of Sarah's project, but the data are going to be there. It would be nice to know what data or where, even if it's not part of Sarah's battery.
Well, we do have we have the battery for the Ukraine kids, too.
So I'm just looking, so what I'm trying to do, and I'm partly doing it just because the informatics piece is in our area, and I'm trying to set us up for kind of the next part. I am glad to do this in whatever way would work best for the group. You know, everyone has to go to the IRB and has to list what they're going to do. So I'm just looking, I'm looking for a one-time, let's get this all exhaustively kind of done and make sure we know what's being collected. We've deliberately identified things in common. if in sharing that somebody realizes, gosh, if I added this, I could be, we could be working together, I'd love to take advantage of that, and then I want it posted so that if other people want to know what we're doing, we have an easy way to be able to get that information for them.
All right, so could I suggest then that since Sarah has put together the neurobehavioral battery that's probably most common across sites, is that she put together a Google Doc. That Google Doc is circulated with what tests she's doing at what ages, and then people could add on or just simply check that they are also doing the same test.
Perfect.
Does that work?
Sorry, I was muted. I'm happy to do that. I will get in touch with Claire, Tina,
yep,
and Jeff.
I think it could really go to everybody.
Joanne?
I mean,
everybody, yeah.
Well, Joanne,
yeah,
and
Joanne and Claire are doing
the
same.
Are
doing the
same.
Same.
Hey.
But,
okay, but
yeah,
again,
that's fine.
Joanne may be working at a clinic that's collecting additional stuff,
mm-hmm,
so it would be nice to know that. So if you
that'll
just send it to Google Doc to everybody just to put their name on it and put a check. So.
And Christy, is there anything, it's Aaliyah Kretley, she's whispering to me, what about Christy? And I know it's an intervention, but is there any other data that you collect, for example, at baseline before individuals come in? Is there any opportunity here for us to have some comparability there as well?
Well, I'm also thinking, I haven't gotten final word yet, but it seems I have, there's a R34 that is looking promising of potentially getting funded, with a sample size of 80 of in-person, and, you know, if there's some things like, you know, getting the kids to sit or taking a 3D photo that I could build off of that sample where I have kids coming in-house for multiple visits,
mm-hmm,
over time, I'm happy to try to help in that way with that sample. With our app trials, will be pre and post questionnaires, mainly done through REDCap. Most of it's sort of on, you know, some behavioral questionnaires about the child and questionnaires relating to parent experiences. So I don't know how much they would overlap in terms of neurobehavior, but I think it would be helpful to see what others are doing, and if there's ways for synergy that isn't overburdensome for participants, then there may be a way to combine that or think about that. So I'd be very interested in seeing the Google Docs and part of seeing if there's any way of synergy or overlapping on those.
Perfect. Yeah, I wish I would. I'm sorry that I didn't think of that earlier.
Right.
So the other piece, and I'm just kind of trying to march through, and in part I'm trying to create action items that all have to get done. The other thing I wondered was about brain imaging, and I apologize if I'm using it too euphemistically when I say MRI. It just shows my own ignorance. I know, Jeff, that's a focus in your project. I know, Sarah, that's something you're interested in being able to have a similar modality in your sample. Is there anybody else doing imaging? And again, even if it's only potentially two sites, I think it would be valuable for people to know what we're doing in this sample so that, again, if there are opportunities for other people that are writing other grants to have similar protocols to us, that we have that easily available so that they could see that. What do you think about that? I'm showing my true ignorance for imaging, as I said that so cavalierly.
Tatiana, Jeff's not on the call,
that.
But, I thought, okay, sorry. We investigated the possibility of adding imaging, and the mechanism that we thought we could pursue for that wasn't viable, so at this point we're at a loss.
Yeah, but but I'm asking a different question, Sarah. I'm so sorry. Even when something's done for one site, I'm suggesting, I still think it's valuable for us to know, even if it's just one site doing imaging, what is the protocol they're doing? So that if other people do end up trying to write, you know, a supplement to add it into their sample or are starting a new study and want to be able to combine data with work that we're doing here, I'd like it to be really easy for them to know what the elements are that we have. I guess that's what I'm saying.
I think that's a great idea, and in the past on the CFAS website we've had, and I can only speak for neurobehavior, but we've always had the protocols posted on there. Jill, I can't remember if that was in the public part, but I think it is. And so
we're working
anyway,
our way towards the same thing for CFAS 4. That's what I'm trying to get us to, is to have kind of a similar thing. And then I'm going to do all this other stuff that's kind of listed down there. I realize different samples, different things are possible. I think it's important for us just to know what's being collected. And, you know, in order to do other different kinds of research, it's often valuable to have, you know, enough samples available. So I just want to make sure people know what's being collected, and I think importantly kind of for what purpose, what's going to be assayed in them. And that actually is going to be my segue into the next part that I wanted to talk about, if I may. But does everyone feel like we have reasonable action items? Did I forget any domain in this that I should have asked about?
Actually, Tatiana, this is Rajesh. A couple of things. One is, what about the work that Claire and Julie are doing with infrared imaging? Could that not be considered another imaging modality?
Absolutely. I'm showing my own ignorance. Yes, infrared. Absolutely. We're going to write that down.
Yeah, and we'll be doing that with the adults.
Perfect. So again, it's
in Atlanta anyway.
And then being able to say what that is. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The second issue is down the line, it would be really valuable to have if we're going to exploit the microRNA arena to have samples from different groups. So, for example, with Jeff's group and Sarah, what she might be collecting, and Claire and Joanne as well. One thing to consider maybe is, are there common ways to collect things like plasma? For example, could we all work with EDTA tubes? You know, so it's like a common thing, because that could make a difference to background signals and such.
I would be glad to help with that as well. So we do a lot of glass collection here, but I'd love to make sure that it's also going to be appropriate, for example, for the work you do. So I would be glad to get protocols up there so that we could make sure if someone has the opportunity to collect it, they're collecting it the same way. I think it's a great idea. Okay.
This is Ken. Can I just bring up one other thing? I'm concerned about the Seattle program, Claire, as far as clinical dysmorphology is concerned. I haven't heard anything basically about that, and I haven't interacted with them to any extent.
Yeah, I think that this is something that you and Teresa and I are going to have to talk about again.
Okay.
Because they are really giving me a lot of pushback about having a group type thing, and we haven't come up with another thing.
Okay.
Could you just expound on that for a minute?
Well, the question is, how does a Ken or equivalent get a chance to see the patient? And they are not willing really to bring them all back in a group as we've done in the past, so that Ken can make an appointment and go up and see a bunch of people. So the question is, how is he then going to be able to interact with these people to do a diagnosis?
That would be a good use of telemedicine right there.
I think so too. But again, this needs to be hashed out. And we've had several conversations, and they've been sort of non-productive.
Claire, it's Michael, and I'm not sure I would just accept the premise that they shouldn't do that.
Oh, I'm not accepting the premise. I'm just saying it isn't resolved as yet.
Right. I mean, I don't know how critical it is, knowing the nature of that particular project. I think it is critical, and I don't know how the project can be successful if they don't have uniform dysmorphology across the sites. So,
there has to be a solution to it. I agree with you.
Well, I think, you know, the question is whether they can meaningfully participate in CFAS without that.
Well, I think that we certainly need the sample, and they're not. It's not that they don't want to. What the problem we're suffering with this project is not that they don't want to. It's resources. It's the amount of money that people. We just don't have enough money to bring them back and that kind of thing. So we're trying to figure out another solution.
Well, I think the camera is possibly one.
Yeah, the camera is certainly one.
I mean, we do know that we have the dysmorphology that was done by David Smith and
Sterling Claren.
Sterling, yeah.
So we have those, but now we don't have what they look like as adults.
And we have to have that. That's part of the process.
Yeah.
So I would say at the very least we need cameras on them, but I think in a sense it's a lost opportunity because we validated 3D facial imagery in a children's model by being able to compare this morphology with the results of 3D analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really know that the same criteria are going to be applicable in adults. In fact, they may not be. And so losing the ability to correlate a dysmorphology exam with 3D imaging, it is going to be degrading to an extent what we can conclude from the study.
And I would actually encourage 2D as well, Michael, while you're saying that. So I'm thinking about the adults we might get that come in through our project. It would be really valuable for that as well. So I'd really encourage 2D and 3D, and I think that's a really important sample. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to say I really think it's important for other projects too.
And I agree with that.
Do you know a dysmorphologist in Seattle?
There is a dysmorphologist in Seattle.
Did you say there is a dysmorphologist in Seattle, Claire?
Is Margaret there?
Who?
Margaret.
Margaret is there, yep. Yep, for sure.
So, I mean, I think there's a solution to this, but it's something that you and I and Therese are going to have to...
Right, okay. And I totally agree. And when you bring up Indianapolis and adult patients there, I sort of cringe because that means doing the same thing in Indianapolis. Because
the problem with Indianapolis is you're talking about the people coming in over the web. So
yeah, that's why I think
they're not going to be.
These are web people.
Oh, these are web people. Okay.
Yeah, so they're not in Indianapolis. Now the people, and we're not to panic on this, people. This is a tier two aspect of this study, so we wouldn't even be seeing these people for that for coming in live until the next year. So this isn't. We have a few months to sort it out.
Okay.
So, Ed, could I have like maybe 5 more minutes? Would that be possible, or do I need to stop?
You have 7 more minutes.
Okay. So the other piece, if I may, is I wanted to kind of shift us to another piece, which is what happened. So we've been very effective in the previous rounds of CFAS to put human data into the repository, so that data would be available both to other projects within CFAS and also to make it available in the longer term in terms of data sharing. And I know we kind of touched on this, but and I'm bringing it up because this is in my project now, is just sort of our approach for this with CFAS 4. So the reason I did the first exercise is, of course, the data is more valuable within our consortium, I think, if we can do analyses across projects. But I also think the other way we use analyses, or we use the data, is we have results. And that's where I think there's actually potentially an opportunity to engage other parts of CFAS. So projects that are generating data in terms of output, whether it's sequence data, whether it is assay results. We haven't been as good, certainly, about trying to see anything that we could, and I struggle a little bit with how we do that with animal projects. But certainly with some of the readout that we get from other projects, like for ours, we've shared GWAS, we're going to share, whole exome sequencing. How are we going to create an environment in which data like that can be put together? People can ask different hypotheses and put pieces of data together. And I think that maybe is getting a little bit, towards thinking about this as more than just a data repository, but also like a portal where we can put things together. But in order for this to be useful, I think we need to be clear in CFAS 4, what is going into any kind of a common area? And because every project is really distinct, I think I brought this up at the meeting, we have to decide what are we putting into the common area versus, I guess, what an investigator could share on their own with somebody who came to them and wanted to collaborate. And I really don't feel like we're very well defined on this and that we really don't have a plan for this. And so I wanted to walk through that with this group, not necessarily to get all my answers, but to start with the framework of what is the role of the central repository in CFAS 4, what should be in it, and how will people use it? Because if you're going to use it, you're interested in putting things in it, and it motivates people. And so I wanted to stop and see if I could get some discussion around that. So does anyone see a value in how they want to be able to use any data that goes in the central repository. So in the past, I sure might ask Sarah or Elizabeth or Jeff, they would say, I have to go to the central repository to get the data from the other projects. How do you all anticipate using that? So using any data that's in the central repository as part of CFAS-4. Does anyone plan to use anything in it?
Well, I mean, I think that's the long-term goal of CFAS, is to do this multidisciplinary assessment to find out, in fact, what are the relationships between brain, behavior, face,
mm-hmm.
Whatever we find genetic-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So otherwise, without those links, CFAS is simply a bunch of R01s and a bunch of people that get together and kind of discuss common research goals and methodologies. But if we don't put it all together, we're missing a tremendous opportunity.
I don't disagree, and that's why I opened with the framework of what do we do in the same way to make it easier to combine data on the back end. That's actually why I started with that first, and I think that will help people see that. But I do think we have to define what in each project is going to go into the central repository so that we can ensure that we, you know, what's going to be in there. And so I don't know the best way to do that, and that's partly why I wanted to talk to this group about it, is if it's best done, you know, it could be, it's different than we did it before. It's not like you could do more of it at certain time points within the project. But I think we need to have a plan for this, and I don't think it got covered very well at the meeting in person.
Mm-hmm.
So, Tatiana,
yep.
You know, for folk like myself who are somewhat at the kind of the, you know, I'm not the core person in this group. I sort of struggle with trying to understand what the scope of the data is in the central repository. And sometimes it's a situational thing, like, you know, we've had data recently that suggests that we should come to you to look for any epigenetic or genetic variations, and then Tina looking for epigenetic variations in a group of genes that might help us explain. So part of it that I've at least been approaching this is in an ad hoc basis, trying to figure out who has what and who would be interested in collaborating. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. And so, no, and this will be my, I can stop after this, but I think that's exactly what I'm trying to understand, and to make sure that what's been built is going to accommodate that. So if you want to know what's being collected, then having, you know, protocols and lists of the instruments could tell you that. But if you actually want to know, like, how many people have, for example, like what you asked, a plasma sample, who also have a 3D image, who have been prenatally exposed and have something else, it means you need to be able to put data together. And so I think the way we've done it in the past is the central repository has some functionality that allows you to do some querying to find that. But I think if people really anticipate that's going to be their main focus, then that should be the push, is to make that functionality better. If people want to be able to take output from assays and sequence data and all that and want to be able to do secondary analyses, then that isn't necessarily something you search in a cataloging what I've just described. That's more like what SAGE does, which is you put out data sets and people combine them. And that's partly why I'm asking it. Those are two different functionalities, but I think we need to figure out what would serve the project best so we can really make that most useful.
Cool. I'm
so,
in favor of a very strong central repository, and simply because we have a data sharing plan, and
right.
I think other people will utilize that, maybe not in the next 5 years, maybe it'll be 8 years from now by the time we have enough data in there so that people can do the types of studies they wish to, make sense of them. But I think we need to aim toward that. You know, right now it could be everyone's collecting certain dependent measures. They could all be listed in Excel, and then we could figure out, okay, these are what we have. How do we get these into a usable format in the central repository? But I'm a strong advocate of a strong central repository.
Okay. All right. So just so I don't use up all the time. So then let me try to maybe I'll survey a little bit more with other people. I'd like to come back and talk about this, if I may, for a shorter amount of time, maybe if you'll let me next month. And I really would like to move both these pieces forward.
Okay. So in summary, I think, and probably it'd be best if you summarize, but I think we need to get the protocols established, that what everybody is collecting and how they're doing it. I think we also need to visit our consent forms to make sure that our consents are as broad as possible. We did that last time for CFAS 3. I think we need to do it again for CFAS 4 so that we can put in modifications if they're necessary in order to collect things that we didn't think about. You know, is Jeff collecting urine? And the screen went away, but...
That was a mistake. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you.
So I think we need to revisit our consents, and if people can send the consents here, we can start to go through them, or if people can think about how they can broaden their consents so that we don't have issues like we did for the brain MRI with CFAS 1.
Totally
we didn't get consent to share those data.
I'll make that part of this what we're working on.
Can I suggest that that you select a committee to review the consents and the, I mean, it could be data sharing or it could be a separate committee.
I will. I'd almost like to see a committee come up with a common segment of a consent form that would apply to CFAS in general. Not that every university might approve that, but it would be at least a starting point that could be modified to make any IRB happy.
I call it a template consent. I think that's what you'd want, with the different pieces that could be inserted, and then around it you'd put your university-specific language. Okay.
That
we'll
would
add that.
So I will send out an email asking for volunteers for that, and people who are familiar with IRBs. So we can do that. And then the protocols to get on there, and Sarah will do the Google Docs for the neurobehavioral, and we'll ask Jeff to put his protocol, exactly what he's doing, so that people will know for the brain imaging. And I think if we can get these slides from Tatiana and send out copies so that people can say, hey, yeah, I need to fill in this spot. I can do this, and I'm happy to collect, you know, urine, for example. Can we get that? Will people put it in their IRBs? Can I collect it? But right now I see empty spots, and I don't know why, since that's not a very difficult sample to get.
Okay. All right. Let us get a month's worth of work, and we'll be back next month.
Okay.
Tatiana, could you send those around? Because I can fill in a little bit from our perspective and explain. So, your tables.
Got it. We will.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Tatiana,
we need a survey.
All that.
Yeah. We also need a survey of the type of camera that people have and the protocol for the imaging.
Yes.
And you mentioned, or Sarah mentioned, about supplements. At the face-to-face meeting, we talked about people applying for supplements. We can't do that. We can apply for administrative supplements. They're very relatively small amounts of money. We cannot apply for competitive supplements because we have U grants rather than R grants.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get a supplement on a U grant, there has to be an RFA out. So you could only respond to an RFA, and we don't have one. So that is not a possibility. So if you have an idea, it has to go in as an R type of mechanism. Am I right on that, Bill?
Yes, you're right. I mean, we would still accept or entertain administrative supplement requests. Those are smaller dollar amounts for no more than 1 year. But the competitive supplements, we can't have you guys fill those out because there's not an RFA out soliciting those.
Okay. Well, we have about 10 more minutes, so I will... Does anyone have any fantastic new data they'd like to share? Okay. Then I'd like to hear from the Science Advisory Board and NIAAA if they have any comments.
Yeah, this is John. I'm very pleased with the discussion today. I mean, this getting clarity among the sample flow and who's collecting what was really one of the things that came out as an issue at our face-to-face meeting. And this Tatiana did a terrific job, I think, in opening up this conversation, which ought to continue. And Ed, thank you also for pointing out that that there are holes in that matrix there that might be filled in without too much of a burden. You know, yes, it does involve resources. We can't be blind to that. It's not just the wish list, but I think that just the judicious use of time and talent can really expand the availability of data. And I also would encourage everybody, even if you can't foresee now how you might use the central repository, is that plan on getting all of your data into that. And that's, I think that's really, really critical to the center's mission and success.
Dan, any comments?
Yeah, well, I concur with John's comments. One of the things we talked about when I saw his first draft was one of the things that might be helpful is, in addition to having the chart, as Tina put up, was almost a flow chart sort of diagram showing how data would go from, you know, between projects as well as to the central repository. I think just to have a visual that would help people comprehend what is happening and then think about what other opportunities might exist for data, well, a sample as well as data exchange. So so we thought that was an important thing for the group to address in the coming year.
Dale?
I've not got anything at the moment.
Okay. Bill?
No, I would just echo the comments of the advisory board. I'm really happy that, you know, Tatiana and others took the time to put the slides together and to make us aware of some things, at least that I wasn't aware of. So thank you.
Yeah, I want to thank Tatiana. As always, she has done an outstanding job. And,
Leah's my companion here.
Okay. And Leah, who I'm sure participated heavily in this. Thank you again.
As well, you know.
And,
was anyone
okay,
else?
Well, thank you. Any other comments?
Ed?
Yeah.
Dale, I imagine I wasn't the only one that was appalled to see this knee-jerk reflex to connect FASD with the shooting.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Inside Edition is in fact going to do a segment on it.
Okay.
I told them to get in touch with Michael. So hopefully have they been in touch, Michael?
They have not. You know, we talked preliminarily about what you can learn from looking at a face in the newspaper, and there's probably, I'd ask Peter, you've seen the picture of the alleged killer.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I haven't seen it, no.
And Ken?
Yeah, I've seen it. I think he's got some features that are consistent with FAS.
He has a smallish-looking head.
Definitely.
Well, are you sure that's not his ears that are large?
I'm not sure.
I'm absolutely
not sure, John. I can't be sure of anything looking at that picture. But
right.
I,
yeah,
think,
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I just think it was irresponsible to come out with that. So,
yes,
and I think NOFAS has responded to that. So, but it's unfortunate. But you know, there is a book by Jody Allen on school shooters in FAS. You can go to Amazon and look at it. I forget the title of the book, but it's not a new proposition that FASD, and Jody Allen says that, Jody Crow Allen, I believe it is, says that all of the school shooters that he's investigated have had prenatal alcohol exposure. So
is 30% of the population.
So, yeah, but I think it's just unfortunate that someone who came out with that so quickly. All righty. I need Dale, Bill, Peter, and myself to stay on the phone. Everybody else, thank you, and we'll talk next month.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Any other issues, just email me.
This is Claire. Sarah.